Praise the Lord. Good to see you. I trust you're smiling. Thank you again. Thanks for your giving. Those are just one of a number. Debbie, how many ministries do we support? Close to 24 different ministries on a regular basis through your tithes and offerings. So Miracle Life is impacting. About half of that is within the borders of our nation. About half of that is outside. Go into all the world. And so every time we give, something is changing in the world. And so thank you so much for doing that. It's a huge, huge blessing. All right, turn with me in your Bible back to John chapter 14. We're going to continue looking at this subject of God sending the Holy Spirit to us. Jesus, we could put it this way in our language today, is that it's better now. It's better now. Now, the disciples were losing physical Jesus, Jesus walking with them, and they were sad. And so you and I have, life is different right now. And that is the temporary normal. Amen? It's not going to be normal forever, in Jesus' name. Thank God for people all around the world that are thinking, and pray for government officials, pray for people, anyone that is helping to try to combat this around the world. But it is disruptive. It is different. Even greeting some of you today, I realized, just kind of smiled, and I realized you didn't know I just smiled. So now I'm smiling. Okay. So it's different. We've got wonderful Miracle Life folks that are watching online. Thank you to everybody who's watching live right now. But even in the midst of disruption, it's better now for us because the Holy Spirit has been given to us by God. And so two scriptures we saw last week, John 14, verse 16. This is Jesus to his disciples. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then two chapters later, really in the same sermon, he says, but now, John 16:5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, I will not send the comforter to you. So because Jesus left, he ascended to his Father. Now we have the Holy Spirit. He's been poured out. So last week we saw that we're not alone and that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. He leads and guides us. We saw that Paul would follow the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Go here. Don't go there. Amen. And one of the reasons why you don't see in the New Testament someone like Gideon, where he would look for an outward sign or the fleece. Remember, the ground was wet or the fleece was wet, is because now God has a better way of communicating than through a sign. All right. I remember a friend of mine one time was making a decision about a country perhaps that he should move to. And he said, I was reading the newspaper and I flipped over the page and there was this country. It's a sign. No, it's a newspaper. It's not a sign. Okay. In our covenant, God speaks to us on the inside through the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us. And thank God he does. Amen. And he will continue to guide and direct us. Want to look at two more of this, of what's better, why it's better now that we have the Holy Spirit with us and in us. And one of the reasons is that we now have power to live. Power to live. Look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. And it was talking about spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, and really, in a sense, the devil that was behind what was going on around them. He said, you've already won a victory over these people because the Spirit who lives in you. All right. Who's that Spirit? Who is that? Let me put that verse back up. First John 1 John 4:4. Because the Spirit, you see that capital S? So that is God. That is the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit who lives in you. All right, I know Simba thought that Mufasa, he lives in you. He didn't live in him. All right, your parents, your ancestors can't live in you. But there is a Spirit who lives in you, and it is the great, mighty Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And he does live in us. And here's a quality about him. He, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the spirit that is in the world. How many know there's a spirit in this world, isn't there? There is Satan, and there are his demons and his minions and his philosophies. And he terribly, terribly is at work in the world. But we go into the world with this knowledge. Greater. Greater is he who is in me than the spirit, than he who is in the world. No matter what the situation. And so for a child of God, that's one of the reasons we don't have to be afraid. We are never one down. We are never without help because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And I don't know, probably some of us have been in some tough situations, some scary situations. But we, as we approach all of these situations, God is on the inside of us. Greater is he. The greater one lives in me. Say that out loud. Say, the greater one lives in me. All right. If you're watching from home, say that. The greater one lives in me. Amen. So, last week we saw, and the Holy Spirit certainly does this. He lets us know God's will. So we are aware through his leading. But the other significant thing that he does among those things is that not only does he let us know God's will, he empowers us to live God's will. All right. It's one thing to know what's right or what to do, but then you don't have an engine to get there. You don't have fuel in the tank to drive there. All right. So not only does the Holy Spirit lead us, but he empowers us. Look at John 6:63. John 6:63. It is the Spirit. All right. Who's that? Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit gives life. Well, to who? To us, to the followers of Jesus. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Okay, the flesh in the Bible has a few connotations or meanings, and sometimes it's different in different contexts. But certainly it is here, it's our natural human ability. All right. Our natural human ability is our flesh, what we are able to do in and of ourself. It says it profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. You know, when you and I go back and we look at what happened between Adam and Malachi in the Old Testament, and they're wonderful, incredible examples of people who did well and people who obeyed God and who followed his ways. And then we have the other guys, right? Samson, don't be like Samson. Run from Delilah, right? Don't even talk to Delilah. Amen. So we have these examples of what to do and what not to do. And we certainly see God working among Israel and the prophets who spoke. We see the prophecies of the coming Messiah. But one of the great messages of the Old Testament is that even when God's people know God's will and know God's ways, so God gives them the Torah, 613 things to do and not to do. So it's very, very clear. They hardly ever do it. They hardly ever do it. You remember the children of Israel when Moses came down from Sinai and he gave them another download of God's expectations, and the people rose up and says, "We will do it." Now we look back at that, and that's actually a tagline to a joke. I mean, that's like a sure, you don't even wait two chapters before you start disobeying it. All right. And one of the lessons that we get from the Old Testament is that even though you know God's will, if you are relying on your own strength, you're going to fail miserably. And so really one of the messages of the Old Testament is we need help. We need a new covenant. And that's why God spoke through Ezekiel that I'm going to take out that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Jeremiah prophesied about this covenant that we now live in. He says, I'm going to take my laws and I'm going to write them on your heart. I'm going to write them on your heart. You actually, now the New Testament says he gives you both he helps you to both to will and to do, to want to and the power to do it. You can't find that in that old covenant, that inferior covenant that we no longer have to live under. All right. And so part of how God does that is he gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us his Holy Spirit. All right. So we will lack the power to do right if we don't have him, or if we are Christians who have him, but we don't rely on him. We don't rely on him. All right. Listen to Romans 8, verse 1. So now, this is a New Living Translation. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So there's no sentence against you. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Have you noticed that sin just basically kills everything? It kills relationships, it kills finances, it kills organizations, it kills countries. Sin is death. It brings death everywhere it goes. All right? So the power over sin comes, just leave the scripture up there. The power to overcome sin, all right, and that does overcome sin, just put verse 2, Romans 8, 2. Hallelujah. How do we have it? It's by the Spirit. The Spirit has freed us that leads to death. All right, verse 3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Notice it wasn't a law problem. It was an us problem. Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect. All right? It was awesome, but we couldn't do it. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. An end. Everybody say, there's an end. All right. That end is not when we go to heaven. The end was when Jesus died. The end is when the greater one comes to reside on the inside of us. Amen. It is so sad and so unscriptural when a Christian says, and I know Christians, we need to be, you could say, current with God. And if we miss it, we need to confess and look to him and receive his cleansing power. Amen. Make things right on the earth with people if we've sinned against them. All right. But sometimes Christians in their admitting to sin, or if there's something wrong, they'll use these words. Well, after all, we're only human. Full stop. No. I'm a human. Yes, I'm a human. We're all human. That's awesome. We don't need you to confirm that. We're not aliens. We're not animals, right? Hallelujah. Yes, we're human. But we're human, comma, filled with the power of God. Filled with the sin-destroying power of the Holy Spirit. We're not left up to us to battle on our own sin's influence and sin's temptation and sin's deception. We have the mighty Holy Spirit. Because if you and I say, well, after all, we're only human, what you're saying is it's inevitable. It's inevitable. It is not inevitable to sin. Amen? A scripture that I'm so thankful for, right? 1 John 1:9, if we sin, confess our sin, all right? And then he goes on to, and he says, these things I write to you so that you don't sin. I'm giving you insight. I'm giving you help. And not only from the scripture, but also by the power of the Holy Spirit working together in us so that we don't sin. So that we don't sin. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's some counseling that happens that before a woman gets married, ladies will take her aside and say, well, listen, your husband's going to commit adultery. Nobody ever told my wife that. Because I don't and I won't. Ooh, you better not say that. The devil might hear you say it. That's exactly who I'm saying it for his benefit. Because I have the power of God on the inside of me. Amen. And I also have a wife who'll beat me up. Just kidding. Not really. Just kidding. All right. All right. Amen. He declared an end to sin's control. See, sinners sin by nature. All right. And they do have a choice. They sin by nature. Believers only sin by deception, by choice. There's no power that's over you that's forcing you to sin. Not anymore. Not anymore. Well, you know, when my friend talks this way, I just can't help it. I can't help it. That's not Bible. That's an excuse. The Holy Spirit, the greater one lives on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And the greater one might tell you, hey, you know what? Your friend, you just need to love him from a distance. Amen. You need to, delete them from your cell phone. Amen. Hallelujah. So the power of the Spirit frees us from the power of sin. It's an end to sin's control. Now listen to verse 4, because this one is important. Romans 8:4. God, he did this so that the just requirement of the law should be fully satisfied for us, not by us, for us, who, this is us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So in the same way that Paul followed the Spirit, not to go to this place and not to go to that place, remember that? Right? Acts 16, he followed the Spirit physically to go to places or not go to places. You and I can follow the Spirit in our everyday life. So when we say stuff that we shouldn't say, when we say, do you ever have words that come out of your mouth and they're floating in the air and you wish you could grab them, but you can't? All right. That means that at that moment, I wasn't following the Holy Spirit. All right. I was following my carnal, my flesh nature. Okay. I wasn't allowing him to control because he wanted me to say something else. So it's a matter of yielding to the Holy Spirit. I love somebody, a pastor friend of mine said this, he's spirit filled. He's a tongue talker, but he said this, he said, I really don't care if you talk in tongues, if you're mean in English. All right. That's not being spirit controlled, spirit filled. Look at Galatians 5:24. So in Galatians, there's a list of behavior that is spirit led, spirit empowered, that comes from our recreated human spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it is love, joy, peace, longs, all this awesome life. It blesses us and it blesses other people. And then there's a list of stuff that harms us and harm the works of the flesh, the works of the flesh. All right. And so in summarizing those two lists, Galatians 5, Paul says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit. Say that. I'm living by the Spirit. living by the Holy Spirit who lives in me. All right, I'm not living just by my mind. I'm not living just by what I feel, but I'm living by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading. Here's the kicker: in every part of our lives. Every part. All right. So we may take some time, and we encouraged you last week, man, take some time to pray, fast, seek the Lord about decisions. It's important, yes. All right. And so we know, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, show me. And he should. All right. But what if we were that serious of following the Holy Spirit in every part of our life? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That in all of the decisions, all of the ways that we interact with people, we follow him. All right. And that's why elsewhere Paul said this to the church at Ephesus. He said, don't be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. It leads to bad decisions. How many of you know that verse is true? Before you knew it was in the Bible, you proved it. How many of you proved that verse before you knew Jesus, right? Yeah. It leads to bad stuff. All right. But it doesn't just say, just don't drink wine. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. Because he will lead you to incredible places, to incredible behavior, things that you won't regret. So, if he's leading, what are we doing? We are following. We are Spirit led. We are those who follow the Spirit in every area of our life. Every area of our life. Are we following the Spirit's leading in our families? Or are we following selfishness? Because that seems like the thing that never dies, right? What about me? What about my rights? I remember talking to a guy, and I've certainly, you know, I appreciate that he was just honest, and he was wanting help in his marriage, and we were talking, and I was saying this and this, and man, you can do this and you can do that. And he finally just stopped. He said, Pastor, when are you going to get to the part about my wife? Right? Because I want some good stuff from this relationship. Have you ever felt that? Okay. But let the Holy Spirit lead you in your marriage. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in your parenting. Let him lead you in how you are an employer or an employee, or how you partner with other people as you are a business person. Whatever you're doing, be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Then another thing, another part of what the Holy Spirit does, it's very linked to this, that he empowers us, because this is the chief characteristic of a Christian's life, is that he empowers us to love like God. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Poured out. We've seen that before, right? Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Well, when he was poured out, he poured out something. He poured out the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. All right. So when he comes with God's love and makes a deposit into our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Listen to this. So Paul is always writing to these different churches about certain things many times he's aware of. Either they've told him or he kind of caught wind of it. And so he's giving him instruction. Many times he's maybe encouraging them about stuff that they're doing. He's like giving them a thumbs up. Way to go, guys. I'm so proud of you. And then other things he said, you know, I'm not proud of you. We need to sit down. We need to have a talk. All right. And here is a really incredible exhortation. But it's also a wonderful truth. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Well, why is that? For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Well, do you think that the church at Thessalonica was like special and God chose to teach them how to love one another, but he doesn't teach the church at Roma or Lusaka? No. That same teaching is available from God of how we are going to love one another. Well, who is the teacher? Who's the teacher? How does God teach? And Paul is saying, and Paul did teaching, and he certainly did exhortation. He said, but I don't even need to get involved here because God is helping you. He has taught you how? By the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? He said, when he comes, he will teach you, the great personal teacher for our life. All right. So let me ask you a question. Are you going to the Holy Spirit's love lessons? Have you ever read his love curriculum? See, we might be taught by other humans how to love one another. And there might be some good wisdom, but then there's also some really crazy stuff. So let's say you're a single young lady and there's a guy that's interested in you, but he doesn't spend enough time with you. And you're a little bit frustrated. And so your girlfriends will say, I'll tell you what, here's what you need to do. Just start paying attention to other guys. Just start flirting with other guys. That'll get his attention. How many know that's not the Holy Spirit's love curriculum? That's human carnal weirdness. I tell you, when my wife and I were dating, if she'd have done that, I'd just say, cheers, China. See you later. I'm so glad you didn't. All right. So we can get advice from one another and we can kind of learn what other. No. What is the Holy Spirit? How is God teaching us how to love? How is God teaching us how to love? Amen. 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Okay, New Living Translation. If we love each other, God lives in us. Okay? God lives in us. Which part of the Trinity lives in us? The Holy Spirit. I know sometimes we tell little kids, invite Jesus into your heart, but Jesus doesn't live in your heart. Jesus is ascended to the Father, right? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, comes to live in our heart. I'm so glad. All right. God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Full expression. So let's just kind of ask ourselves, if people around us, would they say that God's love is being fully expressed through us to them? All right. Not necessarily what you say, but what would other people say about how much that is expressed? Well, the fact is, he can be. He wants to. And as God's love is working in us and through us, it is being perfected or completed in us because God wants to love the world. And he does it how? He does it primarily through us, through his body. All right. Now, thought of some of you sang this. I know sometimes we sing this at funerals, but this is a wonderful truth to go home to today and to remember. Great is thy faithfulness. I think it's maybe the third verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Thine own dear presence. Well, who's the presence of God? All right. It's not a wind or a rush. The presence of God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The presence of God. God's own presence to cheer and to guide. Flashlight. Hallelujah. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. So the Holy Spirit is here to cheer us, to guide us, to empower us, to truly do what Jesus said. He is our helper. Amen. So as we pray today, I want us to just take a few minutes here in this room. And if you're watching online, allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you, to guide you. There may be some places where he wants to correct you, to nudge you in certain directions. Amen. Of how we can live out the life of God and live out the love of God in our life. Let's bow our heads today. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sending us the great and mighty Holy Spirit. God, there's so many confused religions all around the world that are seeking for God or looking to God or trying to find God. But Lord, you have given us, poured out freely your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. Father, may you bring guidance and help to our life through him. Father, if we are missing it in any way, Lord, help us. May people around us, God, people that we're in relationship with, may they know that we heard this sermon today by the new life, the new love that we show to them. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here in this place or if you're following the service online, Jesus Christ loves you and he wants to pour out the Holy Spirit into your life. The greater one wants to make his home within you. Now, how does that happen? It doesn't happen just by following a creed or finding religion or going to church, trying to be a good person. Jesus said it this way, you must be born again, born by the Spirit, born by the Spirit. First chapter of John says that as many, means whosoever, as many as receive Jesus, to those who receive Jesus, God gives them the power to become the children of God. God wants you in his family. And you can say yes to him. If you're in this place or you're watching online and you say, Pastor, I am not born again. Or maybe I'm far from God and I need to come home. I need to be a repentant child of God. If that's you, wherever you are, simply raise up your hand. If you're here in this auditorium, lift up your hand. Say, that's me. I need to know Jesus. I need to follow him. I need to be born again, or I need to come home. If you're watching online and that's you, here's what we'd ask you to do. If you're watching on Facebook, you're watching on YouTube, go into the comments right now and say, I'm following Jesus now, or I'm accepting him as my Lord and Savior. And if you indicate that, we will have somebody reach out to you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you take great steps with God. We want to get you connected to Miracle Life or another great Bible-based church wherever you live to make sure you're going to follow him wonderfully all the days of your life. Amen. So please do that online and we'll reach out to you today.